From KPFK Pacifica Radio, this is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can watch this show on Free Speech TV and listen to it on Pacifica Radio stations and affiliates nationwide. A 17-year-old pregnant, undocumented teenager in ICE custody in Texas has been denied the right to an abortion. When the ACLU sued on her behalf, a federal judge ruled in her favor, saying that she was, quote, astounded that the government was denying the teen a constitutional right to a reproductive procedure. The Trump Justice Department has appealed the ruling to the D.C. Court of Appeals, even as the teenager, known only as Jane Doe, is rapidly running out of time to have a safe abortion. The D.C. court has now issued an administrative stay of the federal judge's decision. Why is the government so intent on denying such a basic right to this undocumented teenager who wants to terminate her pregnancy? My guest is Tina Vasquez, immigration reporter at Rewire. Previously, she was a freelance writer and editor with almost 10 years of experience focusing on intersectional feminism, racial justice, and immigration. She's the former associate editor at Black Girl Dangerous and has contributed to The Guardian, Truthout, Jezebel, Bitch Magazine, and Al Jazeera. Welcome to the program, Tina.
Hi, thank you for having me.
So you've been following this case and writing about this story for a while now. Tell us about the backstory of this girl. Obviously, since she's a minor, we don't know very much about her. Is all we know that she's pregnant, undocumented, and being held in Texas?
Essentially, yes. The advocates working with her were asked by her to release as little personal information about her as possible. But one of the things that she did want people to know is that when her sister told her parents in their country of origin that she was pregnant, her parents beat her so severely that her sister miscarried. And so she has been very fearful of her parents finding out her situation. And despite that context, the Office of Refugee Resettlement, which is the office that sort of oversees her care, that is has legal custody of her, they told her parents anyways. So that's sort of what we know about Jane Doe. We know that she's 15 weeks pregnant. We know that she's been trying to access abortion since September 11th. And we also know that like a bulk of young people who are in these shelters, if they are pregnant, it is often as a result of rape. So that's sort of the larger context for Jane Doe's story.
And in fact, is there any way to know if she would have gotten that she got pregnant, that she conceived while she was in the prison? Because then it would be very obviously a case of rape.
I don't think that Jane Doe wants that information known. So whatever context around that, I think she is keeping private. Mm.
And of course, that is her right. So let's talk about whether there is a policy or has been one around abortion, access to abortion within detention centers under the George W. Bush administration, and then the Obama administration, and now the Trump administration. We are locking up undocumented immigrants for the civil offense of not having papers in this country. We're locking them up in effectively prisons, but they're called detention centers. And depending upon that classification, I'm assuming that you certainly have rights of certain types or you don't. What, as far as you know, does the government say is the right of undocumented immigrants in these detention centers to have health care in general and also specifically access to reproductive care like abortions?
So there are two, it's important to differentiate. So adults, women who are adults, they get sent to detention centers that are overseen by ICE or family detention centers if they're with their children. Because Jane Doe is an unaccompanied immigrant minor, which is a young person not of legal age who migrated alone, they get sent to shelters that are overseen by the Office of Refugee Resettlement. So Jane Doe is in a shelter that's run by ORR. So in detention, adult people seeking abortion, there are detention standards for care that include abortion. It gets dicier in shelters when you're working with minors. There's been sort of a lot of changes recently that were allowed under George Bush about who has custody of unaccompanied immigrant minors. So custody under George Bush was given to ORR. They have legal custody. Under Obama, that got more complicated because the Obama administration started giving millions of dollars to religious organizations that care for the youth in these shelters, like the day-to-day care. And they're supposed to take them to doctor's appointments. That's part of their responsibility. But because they're religious organizations, What complicated that is on religious grounds, they made it as difficult as possible for young people in these shelters to access sexual and reproductive health care.
Which is exactly what the problem is when you fund religious organizations and institutions to do the work that government should be doing. They're going to apply their own filter of morality.
Yes. Yes. And that has been a very big problem. And that's when a lot of these problems have arisen. But now you have the Trump administration appointees. And that's another added layer, because you have Scott Lloyd, who's the director of the Office of Refugee Resettlement, who is vehemently anti-choice, has a long history in his resume of being anti-choice, of serving on the board of crisis pregnancy centers. And now you have the ACLU, which has obtained emails and other sort of communications, internal communications, where there is a new policy now where they are strictly prohibiting unaccompanied immigrant minors in shelters from accessing abortion. And that means funneling them into crisis pregnancy centers. It means there is evidence that Scott Lloyd has personally shown up at these shelters to counsel these young people about their choices when it comes to accessing abortion.
Wow.
And so, yes, Jane Doe's case is sort of emblematic of all these horrible things that have happened over various administrations. But now we're really seeing it taken to another level under the Trump administration.
So this is where the issues of undocumented immigrants intersect with, with women's rights, basically. So does the case of Jane Doe symbolize what the right-wing Christian anti-abortion evangelical movement and many parts of the GOP have sort of wanted to carry out on the population at large in the U.S. and have been stymied to some extent, and see undocumented immigrants, particularly teenagers, as, you know, just that vulnerable population that they have control over to carry out this this fanaticism?
I mean, I think undocumented immigrants are a very easy target. My argument has always been that immigration is a feminist issue, that immigration is a reproductive justice issue. A bulk of immigration policies adversely impact women and children. And so Jane Doe, I feel like, is just a very easy target, because Roe v. Wade should apply to Jane Doe. And Jane Doe has gone through all the legal steps that the state of Texas, all the hurdles that they put in place for people to access abortion. She's gone to court for the waiver. She went to the counseling appointment that's required before you can access abortion. She did all of these things, but she's still being blocked from accessing an abortion. And I think she's just a really easy target. And if they can hone in on this one person, then they can make accessing abortion difficult, if not impossible, for other people who are in Jane Doe's position. And I think that there are repercussions, not just for young people who are in shelters who want to access sexual and reproductive health care, but I think there are larger repercussions for women in detention, because we're also seeing some sort of shift for pregnant people in ICE detention. Whereas before, you know, when they are taken into ICE custody, they were given a pregnancy test. If it were positive, they were released very quickly. And now we're seeing ICE detain pregnant people. An attorney told me that it's at the rate of one per day.
Wow.
So we're just seeing all of these different sort of changes happening as it relates to sexual and reproductive health in undocumented immigrant populations that are being detained by shelters or in ICE detention centers. And I think, you know, largely there are repercussions for women, but I think the Trump administration, for whatever reason, has decided to use a lot of its resources in particular to sort of put these kinds of hurdles up for this population of women in particular first. And I think it's just part of a larger push of bad things that we will see when it comes to accessing care.
I want to hone in on what you said earlier about the fact that, about constitutional rights. So the question, there's a question at the heart of all of this, that the federal judge in Jane Doe's case raised, don't constitutional rights also apply to undocumented people in government custody? The Constitution doesn't specify that you have to be a U.S. citizen to have basic constitutional rights. Roe versus Wade is considered now a constitutional right. So what is the answer to that question? Do undocumented people in government custody have constitutional rights?
I think the government is arguing that they do not, but I
think
that that they do. I mean, that's essentially their stance with Jane Doe, is that the reason why her case is so complicated, according to the government, is because she's undocumented. So that for them leaves it up in the air as to whether or not she has constitutional rights. But I would say that she certainly does, and that every undocumented immigrant in the United States does.
And the federal judge in that particular case agreed, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm.
And she said she was astounded that the Trump administration was trying to block this young girl from having having the procedure. And the government has, as you said, just put a lot of its resources towards stopping this girl from having an abortion. The Justice Department has appealed the federal court's decision. And now the D.C. Court of Appeals, I understand, has put an administrative stay. Meanwhile, this young girl is in Texas, where one of the many states that has made it so hard for women to have an abortion that she really risks, running out the clock. Her pregnancy risks, she risks not being able to get an abortion.
Mm-hmm. I mean, Susan Hayes, who's with Jane Due Process, which is an organization in Texas that's working with Jane Doe on her case, told me that her big fear is, well, so the context is needed is that Jane Doe has been in this shelter for around 6 weeks, and that's very unusual for an unaccompanied immigrant minor. These shelters are not meant to be long-term. They're simply a place where these young people are detained until they can be reunited with their family that's already in the United States. So 6 weeks is a lengthy amount of time, and it's unusual. And I was told by attorneys working with her that they think it's because the shelter is trying to hold her as long as possible so that she reaches the 20-week mark and she can't access an abortion. Oh, my goodness.
So they are basically holding her pregnancy hostage, her access to abortion hostage.
That is language that's being used. They're holding her hostage because not only are they not releasing her to her guardian, but this has been going on since September 11th. So when it became clear that the Office of Refugee Resettlement wasn't going to transport her to a clinic for her appointment, attorneys requested that they let her out with her guardian to access an abortion and come back. And they wouldn't allow that either. So she's literally being held hostage. And Susan Hayes, an attorney with Jane's Due Process, told me that her big concern is that Jane Doe will just, it's a border town where she lives, that she will cross the border and she will do whatever she needs to there to access an abortion, that which may subject her to really unsafe conditions. And that's just, it's not necessary. She has a right to access abortion. She's gone through all the hurdles that Texas requires. This is literally insane. It's insane what they're doing to her.
And she is a child. She's only 17 years old and she wants an abortion. It's just unimaginable what this young person is likely going through. Let's also talk about the fact that the global context is important here too. We have seen countries in Latin America severely criminalize abortion and even in some cases miscarriage, going the way of the United States. And you mentioned how her parents are, did not like the fact that her sister was pregnant. So what this particular young person is going through in the United States is not that different now from what she might have been going through in Latin America.
Mm-hmm. What I've been told by attorneys working with Jane Doe is that they're using the word torture. She's been tortured, even though she received this judicial waiver so that she wouldn't have to tell her parents about the situation. ORR told her parents anyway.
This is the Office of Refugee Resettlement.
Yeah. And so from what I've been told, they've been trying to force her to talk to her mother so that her mother can dissuade her from accessing abortion. And they're also, I've been told that people with the Office of Refugee Resettlement have been asking her what she's going to name her baby.
Oh, my goodness.
This
is like psychological torture.
It is. I had a hard time understanding why the government was fixating so much on this one person. Why are they doing this to this one teenager? And it's because they want to restrict access to abortion for all teenagers in shelters. I mean, that's why they're funneling so many resources.
He's become a scapegoat, basically.
Yes.
And the fact that this young lady is undocumented may end up meaning that if the government has its way, it'll force her to have the baby and then deport her and the baby anyway?
Yes. I mean, I don't think that's beyond the government to do at all. Yeah. No. Or, you know, then now that she would have a child, then they would put her in family detention. And so shelters aren't great either. You know, she is being detained. She cannot leave the shelter. But the standards of care are very different for unaccompanied immigrant minors. Detention centers are very different. Detention centers have in-custody deaths. They have sexual assaults that happen there. No access to medical care, very poor medical care. And so then she would get sent to a family detention center with her child, which is like a prison for she and her baby.
So this is a young girl. She's a child. Because she's 17, her pregnancy, at least in the eyes of the law, is the result of a statutory rape. She's being denied access to an abortion and likely going to get denied access to even remain in the country. How are feminist groups, reproductive rights activists looking at this case? Is this being seen by enough mainstream women's rights organizations here in the United States as an important case to work on?
I don't think so. I've seen some comments and statements from Planned Parenthood. I just don't think that immigration is really seen as a reproductive health issue or as a feminist issue. And it certainly is, because all of these immigration policies adversely affect women. Like, women bear the brunt of all of these policies. If their partners are deported and that person was the primary breadwinner, then a woman is left behind to raise her children alone, to figure out an income, to deal with the trauma of having her partner deported. If she is deported, often, you know, a bulk of the migrants coming to the U.S. right now are from Central America. Those are women that are escaping gender-based violence. They come to the United States. They are re-traumatized in detention. I mean, immigration just simply is a feminist issue, period. And so if feminist organizations aren't paying attention, they really need to be.
Well, finally, Tina, what do you expect is going to happen? I mean, you've got the ACLU at least on working on Jane Doe's behalf, putting their resources behind her, which is fantastic. And you've got this legal battle playing out in court, but time is ticking, and this young girl is running out of time to have an abortion. What needs to happen? Who can step in at this point? Is it just up to the DC Court of Appeals to say they're keeping this administrative stay in place, or is there another sort of legal recourse that this girl has access to?
So as of right now, Jane Doe is supposed to go to her counseling appointment tomorrow, which is required by the state of Texas. And then according to the initial ruling, she is supposed to access an abortion either the 20th or the 21st. So the hearing or the court is meeting tomorrow at 10 a.m. and there's a decision expected at the end of the day. So I assume that Jane Doe is going to move forward with her counseling appointment. And then depending on what the court rules, that she will or will not be able to access an abortion. And I don't know the legal steps for her moving forward.
Well, give out the website where people can follow your writing. You're one of the few reporters who's covering this issue in the Progressive Independent Press, at least.
Thank you. I'm the immigration reporter at the website Rewire. You can find us at rewire.news.
That's rewire.news. Tina, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
My guest is Tina Vasquez, the immigration reporter at Rewire, and we've been discussing her recent writings at that outlet about the government denying abortion care to an undocumented teenager in Texas. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter. Also find us on Facebook, Twitter, iTunes, and Vimeo.